objectively speaking, if Trump had won in 2020, the country would not be in as bad of a position as it is now. What Biden did by winning and then doing nothing with his presidency to stop Republicans was give him 4 years to recoup. Then Trump came back with a whole cabinet full of loyalists and has done unimaginable harm to the country that'll last decades, if not centuries. You made the best decision with the information available at the time? Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm not ashamed of that. Sure. Like, I hope that over time I learn more and I continue to evaluate what I believe. Yeah. I'm not saying what I'm saying out of vindictiveness. I'm telling you guys that the future of this country right now rests on the ability for the Democratic Party to find somebody better than Gavin Newsom. Everyone's getting real mad over that Hassan podcast snippet where he was talking about not voting for Gavin Newsom if he was up against J.D. Vance. And he's been getting like everyone, Blue MAGA has been going after him. It's really frustrating, too, because like there are, in my opinion, problems with how Hassan advocates for his positions. And sometimes like his positions themselves are pretty flawed. But the Blue MAGA people are like the lowest IQ, like they're the worst. Imagine being a regime dog for a regime that isn't in power, doesn't want to have power, doesn't know what to do with power, and hates you. Like, at least being a regime dog for the Republicans, you get to like revel in the like malicious vindictiveness of like, ah, well, 10,000 more brown people to the camps or whatever. But on the Democrat side, like, you're getting all of the affect and none of the effect. I have no idea who's what are you in it for? I don't understand. Where's that bomber from? The one I'm wearing? Imogene and Willie. But they're out of it right now. I got it a while ago. No, they really are just doing it for the love of the game. No more discos. Look, Masaigu, I know you don't like it when we talk about Gavin Newsom as though he's already the Democratic primary candidate in 2028. But the problem is that that's where the discourse is centered right now. He's one of two people who have so far like effectively put their hat into the ring, or at least like two of the main people being discussed right now. And there are already people that are trying to like get you to preemptively declare your allegiance to him, even though we're like over a year out from a primary. It's crazy. Now the discourse is like, if you don't commit to voting for this awful piece of shit Republican collaborator, this sociopath, 3 years before the election, then you're basically already a Republican. Yeah, they're already blaming the left for his loss in 2028. It's crazy. It's like we're so done. Trump is such a lame duck that we're role-playing the 2028 presidential election already. What the f***? It's crazy.
For him.
Disappointed in
who
Gavin
do you vote
Newsom.
For J.D. Vance or Gavin Newsom?
Well, I'd have to vote for Gavin Newsom.
Me
of course,
too.
100%.
I wouldn't blink. No, what about you, Hassan?
I'd probably vote third party.
You would?
Oh yeah. I mean, at that point, it doesn't even matter. Like, because my policy on this is the same as like my refusal to endorse Kamala Harris. The reason why I did not endorse Kamala Harris was because she did things that were not only unproductive but also unconscionable. But I still stand on that. I still talk about it all the time because people constantly bring it up. They're like, you didn't sufficiently like promote Kamala Harris. You're the reason why she lost. And I'm like, I am incapable. There is no singular force in this country that is capable of.
I don't like Hassan's argument here, but I will say it does kill me a little bit that there are Democrats who will unironically pretend that Biden did nothing wrong during his presidency and that Kamala Harris ran a good campaign. That, to me, it's like, are you worth an argument? Are you worth engaging with? Is this a real conversation, or is this like insane team sportsman partisanship shit, right? Like, I'm speaking from the perspective of a person who argued pretty aggressively for people to vote in favor of Hillary Clinton in 2016 and in favor of Biden in 2020 and Kamala Harris in 2024. So it's not like, I'm not like a long time committed. I made a Twitter post the other day where I said effectively, I expressed some of the opinions that I'm having right now, and I'm getting dogged by like gray zone readers who are like, well, didn't you ride or die for Biden back in 2020 and 2024 or whatever? I got retweeted by Nina Turner, and then she unretweeted me, presumably after somebody let her know who I was. So like, it's not like I've cultivated an audience of diehard like never voting for Democrat types or whatever. It's not really like pretty difficult to argue that it's like a grift for me. It's just like, if you genuinely don't understand how the behavior of Biden and Kamala both contribute, like, so much shit. Biden's insane capitulation to Israel over and over and over again, the lies and the cover-ups and telling the State Department to not release any information that might like indicate that it's illegal for us to continue supplying them weapons, even though they're committing war crimes, when it was the decision of the relevant departments within the State Department that they had been. And then the decision to not functionally have a primary because we were just running with Biden again, even though everyone thought Biden was too old to run again. Like, this was a widely held opinion. And then he drops out bitterly after flubbing the first debate, and Kamala Harris shows up and says, I'm going to do everything that he did, except I'm going to have more Republicans in my cabinet, after Merrick Garland refrained from doing anything legally to Donald Trump. Like, if you can look at all of that and be like, nah, they pretty much did perfectly. The only reason Kamala lost because of those damn lefties. It was those damn Bernie or Busters, even though all data like points to the contrary. Like the idea that it was hardcore leftists that cost Kamala the win in 2024 is just completely not supported by the data. Like you're not worth engaging with. You're like subhuman. You're not, you like genuinely, you're not worth engaging with at all. It's just seeing the engagement from these blue MAGA types lose, I'm going to lose my mind. They're genuinely like worse than MAGA people, because again, at least like the MAGA people, I understand from an emotional perspective how like locked in they are in the regime. For the MAGA people, like the Trump regime right now is literally like the burning ember that they're clinging to. This was like their big cultural moment, and it's dying, and they're desperate to keep it aflame for as long as they can. Like they're carrying the flame, et cetera, right? But like, that's not what's happening with Democrats. You could just choose a better Democrat. You don't have to do this. There's nothing requiring you to attach yourself to this fight the way that you are. You could just choose you could just advocate for a better Democrat if you want. There's nothing locking you in. It's not a cult of personality. I don't get it. They're libs. Okay, they're actually not liberals. The blue MAGA types that I'm describing right now genuinely are not advocates for liberal values. They're largely anti-left contrarians that are like in it for the team sports reasons. They're not guided by any principle belief. Any actual liberal, like real, like, you know, I don't know, John Locke style liberal or whatever, would currently be issuing fatwas against the Democratic Party for refusing to prosecute Trump during Merrick Garland's reign as attorney general. Like the any actual liberals right now would be like stockpiling ammunition in their basements. It's not like this particular kind of like hyper capitulation, like the like pretends to fight the fight, but in reality they only care about arguing with leftist type. That's not like, those aren't actually liberals. They're not governed by liberalism. Notice that nothing that I've said in this entire segment thus far has had anything to do with socialism. Not one. I've not mentioned it once, and not a single point in time have I mentioned like, well, the big line in the sand here that's differentiating me from these people is like the belief in the commodity form or whatever. It's not the line. If anything, I'm the rep for liberalism here. I've never met a blue MAGA person IRL. I will say that is, they are much rarer. Yeah, but unfortunately a lot of them are like Hill consultants and staffers. There are a lot of them in media. There are a lot of them on the Hill, but in real life, yeah, not as much of a problem. Also, like, keep in mind that sincerely, Gavin Newsom is one of the top running preemptive candidates in the Democratic primary. Like, Newsom and Kamala Harris, the two people that Democrats most often like pitch for, and we know he's going to run. Do you have a source in that Nina Turner post? You mean that she retweeted then unretweeted me? Yeah, in my mentions, I have Nina Turner retweeted me, and then I thought it was funny, so I looked at her feed, and I wasn't there. So presumably, she retweeted me and then unretweeted me. Oh, the thing she retweeted was this post from the Gravel Institute. Remember those guys? In 2019, if Democrats nominate Joe Biden, he may win and will have 4 years of weak, feckless Democratic leadership. And then in 4 years, he'll be defeated by a Republican Party even more openly white nationalist. If you nominate an Obama redux, you get a worse Trump redux. There were blue MAGA people arguing against this, by the way. They were like, that didn't happen. I have no idea what like level of reality you have to be. Like, that's why I say blue MAGA. Like, you're not in reality. I have no idea what the fuck you're... This is one-to-one, man. Yeah, who could have seen this coming? We did. Prophetic. Leftists were saying that ever since Biden threw his hat in the ring. Literally from day one, leftists, including me, were like, look, man, it's not even about whether or not Biden would be like a good candidate or whatever. It's that we saw that weak, you know, pseudo-liberal centrism under Obama led to Trump. Like, we see the pattern. This is going to happen again. And then it did. It's not like, yeah, it's not crazy to see this coming. It's just like there's so much propaganda out there, like the liberal media. By liberal media, I mean like the liberal media, not like all media or whatever. But like they don't really engage with this point. They refuse to engage with anything beyond the consequences of the next election. Well, Biden would have been better than Trump. Well, he was better than Trump, and he would have been better than Trump. But look what happened anyway. Look what keeps happening, man. Look what keeps happening. Historians aren't going to measure this era of American history by term. They're going to measure it by Trump, by person. We've been living under Trump for 10 years. You could have put an end to this if you had prosecuted him, but you didn't. You chose not to. My dad sketched a portrait of you during one of your last streams. Again, I'm interspersing the real segment with this because I think that's delightful. As I do think this is delightful. It's recognizably the capital jacket too. That's so cute. Thank you, your dad. In response to all this business, Welch responded the people getting mad at Hassan.
Usurp the chef. This is intellectually dishonest completely from top to bottom. Gavin Newsom has proven that he doesn't care about trans people. Gavin Newsom has proven that he doesn't care about the illegal nature of what ICE is doing when he platformed Ben Shapiro. And so to put the...
Got dog walked by Ben Shapiro. We watched almost that entire interview and it was insane. Ben Shapiro isn't even like a relevant figure anymore, but Ben just walked over him. Gavin would not engage in any disagreement. It genuinely, like stuff like that, it really does make me think like, I don't know if you're enslaved by Israel or you're like, this is what you think you need to do to run, like you make your pitch for a Republican presidential run. I have no idea what you're doing, but it was absolutely psychotic. I couldn't believe it.
The burden of this on Hassan, who's saying, I'm not going to settle for a fascist collaborator who always is reaching to platform fascists and to find common ground with them. It's just intellectually dishonest because Hassan has a record of standing up for trans people. And when Gavin Newsom did that with Charlie Kirk, that pain.
If that's the case, then why do I see so many post FFS trans women say, you know, hot tip, don't tell Hassan Piker you're trans when they post pictures of them with like bandages on their face, you know?
Pain was felt through the trans community far and wide. And Pete Buttigieg did the same. And Rahm Emanuel came on my podcast and did the same. And so to say that Hassan doesn't care about marginalized groups is completely disingenuous, because what he's saying is, I'm not buying the lie that Gavin Newsom does. I'm not buying that anymore.
I don't think any of them actually believe that. There are seriously people on Twitter who are like, Hassan, you don't care about trans people. That's why we need to support Gavin Newsom. That guy who had Epstein collaborator and far-right propagandist Steve Bannon and white nationalist hyper-influencer Charlie Kirk on to agree with both of them, compliment them on the strategy, and specifically argue that the left went too far with regards to trans rights. Like, yeah, man, phenomenal allyship you've lined up here.
Because each time I do, or each time we do, it incubates a more and more fascist culture. Here's the part of the video that they cut out that I think provides incredible context for the remainder of our conversation. Pop this up, Kylie.
Enthusiastically.
I mean, Newsom isn't even above water in California with voters. That's true, Masai Gu, but never like underestimate Democrats' willingness to commit to a very bad and unpopular bid. If the deep state wants to commit $2 billion to ad runs with him, like they will run forward with him. I mean, this is literally what they did with Biden. Remember that in the 2020 primary, Biden wasn't even like a huge force coming in. Of course, he had the incumbency benefit of having been the VP, but like it was much more of an open race, I think, in a lot of people's minds. Not necessarily for Bernie, but I think people kind of expected it to be a bit more play. But everyone fell in line behind Biden in large part because of the centrally pushed narrative of electability. Are you sure Biden swept the black vote in the primary? Yeah, but they're like 13% of the population, you know? It's not just about that. And also, the reason he swept the black vote in the primary, well, for one, part of it's because he was Obama's VP, but also because, again, like that narrative, black voters tend to vote conservative in Democratic primaries. He was like the centrist moderate relative to other people who had been swayed more to the left because of Bernie's popularity. All I'm saying is that do not get complacent. Just because Gavin Newsom is obviously unfit to run for president does not mean that he won't run, and it doesn't mean they won't back him. That's all I'm saying.
Crawl through 10 feet of concrete for all of the marginalized people.
Do you feel like the Democrats know that, and that's why they get away with their ineptitude?
100%.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
so 100%. I'm like,
okay, pause. Right there.
I don't even.
So Hassan clocked me right there, and I'll own it because my politics are open-minded. They're not fixed. I don't play nanny nanny boo boo politics that, oh my God, you said you wouldn't vote, you would vote third party, therefore you must be canceled. Number one, Hassan's not a politician. Number two, Hassan gets to think whatever he thinks. Number three, there is a large growing number of Americans in.
Vosh, during Biden's term as it was ongoing, Biden outperformed my expectations as the most progressive president of my lifetime. Vosh, after Biden's term, yes, so Biden was the most status quo president ever conceived in the laboratory. I don't think I said either of the. Well, actually, I said the former thing, and I stand by that. In my lifetime, yes, Biden was the most progressive president. That's true. And he was also not nearly progressive enough. Those aren't contradictory statements. I don't understand like the snarky framing, like those these things are true. He was not the most status quo president ever. He was unambiguously the status quo like rally candidate of the 2020 primary. That's without a doubt true. You know, not the most status quo person there, but the one around whom the votes like sort of congealed, I guess, to use a negative verb. Yeah, you almost took my channel down with that take. Careful. You got me like Trump over here. Bullet just whizzed past my ear. But no, like, yeah, obviously, Biden was relatively progressive on social issues and pretty good on unions and worker rights. The main problem, again, was that he was weak and feckless, right? Like, he had no cultural power. Biden basically couldn't speak, and his staffers hid him from the media, so he didn't really have the ability to sway the cultural zeitgeist in favor of the things that he advocated for. He personally was pretty good on unions, and personally wasn't bad on social progressivism, except for, obviously, Israel. Like, we're not even getting at Israel here. But like his personal weakness and his unwillingness to rally the party meant that he spent most of his term beefing with Manchin and Sinema, you know, and he wasn't able to communicate his vision clearly to the public. His big like policy, you know, the omnibus, the infrastructure bill was just passed through like budget reconciliation, you know? He never was able to like really convey a message. And that's weakness. I mean, not even to speak of Israel or Trump and Manchin. Sorry, not Manchin. Garland, you know?
Gen Z and as millennials that have felt completely unseen and left behind by the two-party political system who hate and despise how much they suck up to corporations who see the moral duplicity in a Hakeem Jeffries, a Gavin Newsom, a Chuck Schumer, a Cory Booker, who take money from the MAGA corporate donors and also take it from them. And so when Hassan said that to me, do you think the Democrats know that and take your vote for granted? And I said, 100%. He's right, because they do. Because
they do. Republicans fight so aggressively to expand their margins for like everyone. They do it dishonestly, like all the, of course they're lying like the whole time, but the Republicans aggressively market themselves. They're always making the argument that you should vote for them. Democrats, sometimes it feels like they don't even know how to do that. Like Democrats don't even explain why you should vote for them anymore. They just look at you like this Baron Harkonnen face. That's not Baron Harkonnen. Sorry. That's the guy from the whale. different fat guy. Sorry. Or whatever it's called. But you get me. Like, they don't. I every time you get into a discussion, like, well, what is a Democrat president going to do for me? It seems like the main argument Democrats have is like, well, he's not going to be Trump. It's like, that's great, man. But after the last guy who wasn't Trump, Trump came back. So it seems like you're not really doing that much, you know?
I have this red state trauma. So I end up thinking, okay, I'm going to do a harm reduction vote. The reason why this conversation is so important, listener, is because we have time right now to have these conversations and to move our politicians to a progressive populist.
I respect this woman. She's great. Genuinely, she's very good. She's very good. I like her a lot.
Platform. We have the opportunity right now to rid ourselves via primaries of corporate Democrats who lie to us and use our votes and take advantage of our votes and our compassion for marginalized groups and use them to their advantage to then curry favor with corporations and then go make massive stock exchange trades while in Congress. Okay, continue with that clip.
I mean, a great example of how bad this has gotten is that, like, basically no Democrats right now are farming off of the horrendous shit going on in Minnesota by saying that they would abolish ICE or that the party should abolish ICE, even though there'd be no consequences to doing it. And it's obviously the right thing to do politically and morally. Again, I cannot overstate this enough to you guys. ICE doesn't need to exist. It literally doesn't. Like, you could redistribute the functionality of ICE back to the DOJ. You could abolish the entire Department of Homeland Security and have all of its apparatuses fairly redistributed to the Department of Justice and the security apparatuses. And you genuinely, it would work fine. It would work fine. And Border Patrol is not a matter of Homeland Security anyway. It's a matter of justice. It's a matter of the law. It's not about it's not like the Department of Homeland Security, like fighting terrorism and yoinking Jorge and his three children at the border are the same thing. Like, what are you talking about? These are obviously different things. Why are you folding these into the same category. One of them is basic, like, civil law, and the other one is national security, intelligence. Yeah, I don't know. Like, but Dems won't do it. Dems won't do it. They'll say, like, ICE shouldn't exist in this form. I don't think a lot of them would even cut its funding. Have they ever cut its funding? Do you know of a Democrat that has successfully lowered the funding of the Pentagon or of ICE or anything of that sort? Or even really pushed for it? They did vote to raise it. They raised it every year under Biden. Every year, ICE's budget went up.
I haven't entertained that stuff, especially this far out from an election. But even in the primary season, that's immediately the conversation. It's like, well, whoever is the candidate, you're going to vote for them, right? And you know what's really indecent about that, too? They never return the favor for left flank candidates.
Yeah, no.
Because no one ever made hay about Bernie Sanders potentially becoming the candidate and all of the articles that came out about how Trump might be more preferable to Bernie Sanders. Because they were writing those. Liberals were writing those articles talking about how, you know, the head of Goldman Sachs, who was like, I'm a lifetime Democratic Party voter. I think, you know, Donald Trump is better than Bernie Sanders.
I know.
It's just, it's really bad. We're still like 2 years out from the primary, too. It's only going to get worse. Didn't Kathy Hochul just return the favor to Mamdani Hassan attacked it? Yeah, I disagree with him. I did like a 30-minute segment disagreeing with Hassan there. It's not about like defending Hassan or whatever.
Usurp
it's just
the
like
chef. This is intellectually
Blue MAGA
dishonest
people represent a trend in the Democratic Party who are like legitimately as dangerous, if not more dangerous, to this country. The Blue MAGA people represent a tendency within the Democratic Party to never grow or change and to never work to appeal to people. And that shit is legitimately more dangerous than any individual Republican. Like, these people could be Republican plants and it would make more sense. I know they're not, but they could be and it would make more sense. Like, our masterstroke for destroying the Democratic Party is we're going to flood it with bots and, like, paid operatives, and their job is to accuse you of being entitled and crazy and a Republican collaborator unless you're all willing to fall behind the least effective, most odious, unlikable Democratic candidate who will offer you nothing. And then just, like, watch them get torn apart via infighting, you know? Super, super dangerous stuff. Thankfully, Blue MAGA is exponentially smaller than MAGA, and they only have power on Twitter. Yeah, but the party acts as though they're all the guys. Like, the Democratic Party acts as though that's the mandate of the party is the problem. Like, they act with the confidence of a party that is backed by 100 million people who all think that you're a fascist unless you vote for Gavin Newsom. We need to be louder. Much louder. Like, I'm just saying, like, this is how elections work at the most basic level. Like, I'm saying, if Gavin Newsom wins the primary, his ass is not getting my vote. That's me warning you ahead of time. So it's very direct consequence, okay? So put a different guy up there, or a girl even, if we want to get woke with it. I'm just like, if it's very basic, you know, I'm just warning them ahead of time. I'm trying to let them know. You shouldn't want Gavin Newsom up there anyway. He sucks. Who would you be voting for? If it really did end up being Newsom versus J.D. Vance, I think the best outcome morally, long term, would be the lowest possible turnout on both sides. No matter who wins, if the total turnout was like 40, 35% or some insanely low number like that, that would be the best case scenario, I think. Because the idea would be like a reaffirming, like, you wanted to make it very clear nobody wants either of these people. These people are both awful. Like, I think depressing the vote as much as possible would be the morally, like, it would be the harm reduction option. That way, if Gavin Newsom wins, everyone knows nobody really likes him. If J.D. Vance wins, likewise. The fact that neither of them are actually popular means neither of them can get much done, which is fine by me because J.D. Vance will be disempowered and Gavin Newsom wouldn't be able to do anything anyway because he's a feckless Dem who would just, like, cede power to corporations. You don't need to be that powerful if you're just a status quo candidate. So yeah, having the voter turnout be as low as possible there would probably be the best possible option. That would be, like, the most morally beneficial long-term direction to go in. Bloomberg is pushing Newsom. The comments are all negative. That's funny. Oh, well, 37 minutes.
Been inspired by a lot of our politicians and by our politics in the past. I'm now on the other side of maybe feeling a little more desperate about the moment we're living in. The blatant corruption that is occurring on an hourly, not just daily basis. It sickens me in my core. As an American,
you sound very sincere, very broken up about it.
Father, as a husband, as a guy who grew up in the Bay Area, and to watch some of my old friends participate in that, I need to be more accountable to this moment.
Why should people trust you?
Trust me. I mean, I am who I am, and I've been a
I guess that's all you really can say when your entire record is just you like shamelessly flip-flopping and capitulating and agreeing with Republicans and backtracking on progressives. Like, what else are you going to say, you know?
I've been an open book for decades, and people who know me best have elected me to many offices. There was an effort to recall me in the last three elections. We've won by margins of 20%+. So, I mean, that issue, I think, has been substantively addressed for the...
That's such an... Dude... We won by margins of 20%+ in an insane recall vote in a blue state for a Democratic governor. That's insane. That's not something to brag about, man. Jesus Christ.
Those that chronicle me literally and figuratively that know me best in this state and certainly in the Bay Area.
The person who knows Newsom best of all is his wife, Jennifer Siebel Newsom.
Really, really like honest journalism here. Phenomenal stuff. Meet the Newsom.
Who was a vocal ally.
Florida governor.
MBA.
Perhaps.
I get the sort of corporate side of their decision making, sadly. So I think their vast majority will, quote unquote, come back. I don't think they've gone that.
Why would they be giving his wife any airtime unless this was an anticipation of a presidential run? Like, the only context in which Newsom's wife would be relevant would be as first lady. This isn't the kind of puff piece you would do unless you were interested in, like, piping them up for a presidential run. And from Bloomberg Originals, no less. From everyone's favorite Republican, Bloomberg. Not actually a Republican, but what's the difference?
Far is perceived.
How do you...
Just like, again, the law firms and universities have sold out, just like the supine Congress has sold out. These guys are not screwing around. They're ruthless. And so we have to push back. And so our comms has shifted. I'm starting to understand the nature of attention. You understand that in a business perspective, the attention economy and all the like. But in politics, this guy floods the zone. He dominates the narrative. Illusion rules. The narrative is what matters, not facts. And so we've got to fight with fire.
Oh, my God. They're pumping up the press office account.
Was there a moment you decided to break the glass? Did you have to...
The intern that just, like, posts AI-generated...
Talk about it. Like, how did you...
I had to talk to her about it because I said, just FYI, some of your friends may be going, what the hell is this? Why is your husband's picture on Mount Rushmore? I had to explain this is literally a mirror image of what Trump put out a few months ago.
He's so cool.
People need to be a lot more cynical about this, man. It's not lay epic trolling or whatever. Gavin Newsom is just cynically mimicking rhetorical strategies he sees working on the right. It's the same thing that he did with his Republican podcast, where he brings these fascists on and he's like, good point. You really had us on that one, you know? Good point. Credit to you there, you know? He's just acknowledging the information environment. Yeah, the narrative that he hates Republicans more than anything else is insane. Like, he does not. He's one of the most openly collaborationist governors, if not the most, out there. It was such a weird narrative. Do you think of Newsom as to the right of Biden? I don't understand how, when you have videos like this of him 20 years ago illegally organizing lesbian marriages. Those things are incongruent. You're making the mistake of assuming that Newsom believes in anything. Newsom doesn't personally have an issue with gay people marrying because it doesn't get in his way. But he would happily sell out the rights of queer people if it gave him the presidency. Or if it helped him achieve, like, a broader, consensus within Congress. He truly does not believe in anything. Can I get examples of policies of his that are egregiously centrist or worse? I mean, the most recent thing he did as governor to that point was he argued against Ro Khanna's wealth tax proposal. He said he would veto it, even if it made it through California's Congress, which is insane. A wealth tax is the only way this country survives in the long run. It's popular with Democrats. Also, like, again, I'm not getting over Gavin Newsom refusing to say shit on Israel, pretending he's never heard of AIPAC before, and then bringing multiple Republican fascists on to just agree with them on everything. I'm not getting over that, dude. That's crazy. That's not just bad for a politician. If I had a friend or a relative who did anything even remotely that bad, I would genuinely, like, never talk to them again. It wasn't just like, oh, they incidentally met at a third party event and they, like, chatted. Like you have some images or whatever of, like, Clinton's or Obama, like, being somewhat cordial with Trump. And I don't really care about that. I don't expect them to fist fight the moment they see each other, I guess. I mean, I with the Clintons and Trump, we know they spent a lot of time together in particular. But I mean, like, just incidental photos. This was like he invited them on specifically to agree with them and give them credit. And these are really far-right people, too. Bannon, Epstein-affiliated Bannon. Specifically talking about him being to the right of Biden. Again, he doesn't believe in things. Biden does have real beliefs. Gavin Newsom doesn't. Gavin Newsom flip-flops on issues, whatever he thinks gives him the better mandate in the future. And he's not even particularly good at it. It's not about his consistent positions. It's about his trustworthiness in the long term. But Gavin is to the right of Biden. That is true. Gavin would never be as pro-labor rights as Biden. Easily. Like, that's like a dead center call right there. No way in hell Gavin Newsom would ever be as pro-labor rights as Biden. Yeah. Also, to my memory, unlike Gavin, Biden never said the left went too far defending trans people. Wait, Biden was pro-labor rights? Yeah, Biden was pretty good about that. One of the best presidents in American history. Hard to beat FDR, but yeah, he was pretty good about it. Not perfect, but pretty good. He was pretty good on queer stuff, too. Yeah. Would you describe Newsom as Machiavellian? Yeah, but bad at it. An example is Gavin signed a law protecting trans people's rights in sports, but the moment Trump had gotten to power, he said, I'll look into changing that law. Yeah, because he didn't actually believe in it in the first place. Like, he would be the biggest advocate for wokeness ever if it was a 90-10 issue. But in a country where it's a 60-40 issue on either side, you know, he's like, I don't know. All my principles are actually, I don't know. I got to think about it. Newsom has done more for trans people than for most governors. He's the governor in California. He just signs the bills. I feel like you're deliberately misunderstanding me, okay? He does what he thinks gets him power. I'm not saying he's the most reactionary person on earth. I'm saying that he will shift to adopt the positions that he thinks benefit him. He's not principled, which is why you can see multiple multi-hour interviews where he talks to fascists and agrees with them and refuses to defend positions that he ostensibly has, because he's softballing, he's soft pitching the idea of like being this unifying centrist candidate who will correct the mistakes of the left and not go too far, but also will be more responsible than the worst elements of the right. That's his point. Like, that's the point that I'm making here. His actual record is almost immaterial, but his record is still pretty bad. How do you deal with people who say that that's him doing his job of representing the majority interest? That is an insane pro-sociopathy position. Like, we want our politicians to not believe in anything and backtrack on every issue they claim to support the moment the, like, needle ticks over. That's insane. That's, like, this value-neutral majoritarianism. Why not just have computers run society then at that point? Why not decide everything by referendum? Why bother vote for anyone? You know, that's insane. Not to mention, like, you have the responsibility to persuade voters, right? Like, voter preference doesn't shift on its own. Stuff happens to voter preferences over time. And also, he's really bad at it because he had Steve Bannon on his podcast and agreed with him on shit. Do you think that's the majoritarian opinion in California or in the country? That's just, like, I know the Democratic Party is quaking in their boots. I'm letting them know they're on notice. I'm not voting for him. I'm sorry. I'm letting them know. I'm being responsible. It would be irresponsible of me to withhold that information up until the last moment. You know, I'm letting them know. So find a different guy. Don't find a worse guy, preferably. Seems like this Bannon thing is a poison pill for you. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Bringing one of the architects of the MAGA movement, who is also a longtime friend of Epstein, genuinely one of the most evil people with any influence on the White House, to bring him on to agree with him on his strategy. Yeah, that's pretty bad. That's, yep, yes, sir. Listen, if I'm willing to stop supporting Noam Chomsky over that affiliation, you bet I'll do it with Gavin Newsom, okay? Noam Chomsky is a hell of a lot more impressive of a person than Gavin Newsom. If I'm willing to drop Chomsky, I'm going to drop Newsom over it too. I think that's a pretty easy call. It's the literacy thing again. We've had this discussion. We had it yesterday. Sometimes, like, the conversation, the talking points just go right over people's heads. There's not really anything you can do. If J.D. Vance wins, he'll be worse than Trump not voting against this moronic. You're genuinely just several levels behind the conversation. It's not even necessarily your fault. Why do people keep defending Newsom? Masaigu, because a lot of people don't care about outcomes. They just want fealty to the Democratic Party. And there are people who watch me and think I'm one of the good ones because they perceive my deference to the party in the past as unlimited loyalty, because I thought it would be better if Hillary Clinton won, or if Biden won, or if Kamala Harris won. But they thought that was like an axiomatic position. They thought that was something that I would believe no matter what, that there was no set of conditions that would change my belief on that. But, of course, I'm a consequentialist. I think consequentially the harm of Gavin Newsom winning would be greater than the harm of J.D. Vance winning. So, the harm reduction candidate, J.D. Vance. I'm sorry. Or, well, the harm reduction there would be the lowest voter turnout possible. What if it wasn't Vance? Well, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. A lot of stuff can change in the next 2 years. Great way to go after disaffected voters. Yeah, do the vote shaming, or like the preemptive vote shaming 2 years before the primary, is pretty crazy. I'm not going to lie. That's a pretty interesting strategy. Like, no, like, you're like, just anything that puts you in a position where you have to defend Gavin Newsom, a wretched piece of shit, just insane to me. I don't know. Like, you'd, if anything, you'd think you'd be pitching like Pritzker or something. I mean, there are far better Dems. Damn, you're so right. We should let the Pedophile Protection Party get another 4 years in power. Dog, Biden didn't go after them either. Biden could have, Merrick Garland could have gone after Trump. They had plenty of shit, plenty of FBI files they could have released. There's a lot of stuff they could have done. They did not do it, okay? Also, Biden protected Israel, and that's a pedophile country, so, you know, you get it. Scratch a liberal and a fascist bleeds MFs when given the literal choice between an annoying liberal and an open fascist to vote for and somehow voting for the fascist. You think that Gavin Newsom's an annoying liberal? You really think that's, like, the sum of his positions? I genuinely, like, I don't know if it's that you're young or you're operating on, like, level one of this conversation, but I've laid my positions out pretty clearly, and I genuinely don't think you're capable of or willing to engage with them. I'm saying, like, I am insulting you. I think intellectually you're not capable of, like, you're on level one. You're like talking to a MAGA parent, and the MAGA parent is like, so you think that people should just be able to come into our country illegally and rape people? And you're like, no. And they're like, okay, then what's the problem with Border Patrol? And you're like, well, I think there should be some level of Border Patrol, but I think that what they're doing in Minneapolis right now is insane. And they're like, they're literally just going after illegals. Like, that's the level that you're operating on right now. And I guess, like, I don't know. I got my fill of this in the first couple of years of streaming, and now I sort of don't want to. I've made my positions clear. You can engage with them if you want. Will you bring back debates at some point? Oh yeah. Having this conversation is really revitalizing my interest in having debates. Looking at chat, engaging in the... I literally saw one of the people who was whining at Hassan on Twitter be like, Hassan, you've noticed me lying about you. Now that I have your attention, would you like to massively boost my credibility by debating me? Do you want to debate me, bro? And it's like, oh my god, I remember now. The Blue MAGA people are just as bad as the... Vosh, I kind of feel like you're at the point where if you're saying the unironic open fascist is the harm reduction choice, you kind of have to sit down and evaluate whether you've lost the plot or not. But I've talked about this for hours. I have engaged with it. You're the one who doesn't understand. That's the reason why you're simplifying my position down to, like, the bare bones, reductio ad absurdum, so that you can feel smarter than it. But you don't understand the position you feel smarter than. You don't understand. For instance, I think, like, for me, the clearest argument is this. Objectively speaking, I don't even think this is a matter of opinion. I think you can make this case, like, really clearly. Objectively speaking, if Trump had won in 2020, the country would not be in as bad of a position as it is now. What Biden did by winning and then doing nothing with his presidency to stop Republicans was give him 4 years to recoup. Then Trump came back with a whole cabinet full of loyalists and has done unimaginable harm to the country that'll last decades, if not centuries. But if Trump had just won in 2020, he would have been wretchedly unpopular, and his cabinet would have still been full of rhinos, neocons. You know, he would have entered with no popularity, no mandate. He would have scraped by a victory, and then it just would have chugged along for 4 years. It would have been like a continuation of the lame duck presidency. We expected Biden to be the turnaround. It wasn't. It was an Obama redux. Now we get Trump too, and it's far, far worse. You understand millions are dead, right? The cancellation of USAID. Today, the EPA no longer abiding by the legal decision that allows them to fight climate change. The consequence of Trump winning this time with these people under Project 2025, we're talking millions dead. 7, possibly 8-digit death counts. None of this would have happened if Trump had won back in 2020. He would have mishandled COVID, to be sure. But I think that in the long run, the consequences of that would have been less bad than what has happened here in this. So, if we can accept the premise that Trump winning and deflating the momentum of the movement back in 2020 would have been preferable to it having 4 extra years to gain power, maybe we can make broader arguments. You know, politics is a lot more complicated than just the immediate consequences of who wins one election or which candidate is better than other candidates. If you're a student of history, which I'm not, I can't read, but if you were, or if I was, you would know that you can look back on history and find countless examples of people who were inept, well-meaning failures whose failure paved the way for worse things in the future, you know? Sometimes history is more complicated than that. It's not just a matter of, like, well, X person is better than Y person, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, so that's it. And they should win. And that's best. History is complicated, man. So are you taking back all your arguments in favor of voting for Biden 2020? If I had known back then what the long-term consequences would be of Trump's victory in 2024, then yes, the hindsight does give me the ability. Yeah, for sure, I would. Though I think I would have had a very difficult time making that argument to people, because I think if I told somebody back in 2020, hey, Biden's going to do nothing except defend genocide his whole term. Merrick Garland is going to do nothing to Trump, even though Trump is about to attempt an insurrection on the Capitol. That's going to happen in the beginning of 2025, and Merrick Garland is going to do nothing about it. Nothing. There will be no consequences. And then Trump will win 4 years afterwards, barely scraping by in the election, but he will win, and it will be bad. Sorry, 2021, not 2020. Thank you. Yeah, 2021. If I had said that back then, I think everyone would have assumed I was lying or like making it up, or it would have been unreasonable, you know? But that's what happened. That's the world we live in. You made the best decision with the information available at the time? Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm not ashamed of that. Sure. Like I hope that over time I learn more and I continue to evaluate what I believe. Yeah. I'm not saying what I'm saying out of vindictiveness. I'm telling you guys that the future of this country right now rests on the ability for the Democratic Party to find somebody better than Gavin Newsom. And if they can't do that, I would rather a massive low turnout election where people maintain their belief that things can be better. That to me is the big, it's the real death. That's the big death knell, like the big funereal bell that would truly end this country. It would end any chance of anything ever getting better. If people were convinced, really convinced, especially Democrats, that we can't get anything good, I would prefer to preserve the belief that it is possible to have a good candidate. Apathy will be the killer in the long run. I do believe that. Yeah. So we have to fight apathy. We have to fight for action, whether that be in the form of stuff like mutual aid or like, you know, well, it is possible to have a good candidate. That's one of the reasons why I'm so in favor of Mamdani. Mamdani is an argument in favor of electoralism. Democrats should be happy he's there, even though a lot of them see the discompetence, you know? They should be happy because he's a reminder that if you select the right candidate, good things can happen. But you have to find the right candidate. And you can't blame the world when you keep picking really bad candidates. And Biden was not nearly as bad as Gavin Newsom. Biden was not nearly as bad a candidate as Gavin Newsom could potentially be if he wins the primary. Like, we're dredging. We're going real down low in the shit, unfortunately. Vosh, I'm sorry, but this is such an autistic way of deciding who should be the president. I don't think you're capable of a really autistic way. I don't think you're engaging with this with the sort of casual parlance of somebody who's fitting it into categories. You can't engage with it on its own level. If Vance comes out and says he supports infinite death camps for trans people, which he probably does, hold your horses. Would you blame a trans person for voting for Newsom as a form of harm reduction? That's pretty hyperbolic, but I guess no. I don't know, probably not. It's not really the level that I'm operating on right now. I don't think that J.D. Vance would be able to do that if he won the presidency, because I think he would be extremely unpopular if he won in 2028. I think if anything, probably trans rights would grow more prominent because their support for them would be juxtaposed against an extremely unpopular presidency. It's kind of happening right now under Trump. There was a window where trans people, like support for trans people, plummeted, and that was the end of Biden's term. Right now, it's going back up. Seriously. Take a look at polling with regards to a bunch of progressive issues, whether that be whether or not this country needs more immigrants, whether or not that be like support for queer people or whatever. Everything was trending downwards at the end of Biden and now upwards because of Trump. And that's because of negative polarization. People see what these ideologies look like in practice. You take a look at the White House. Oh, that's what transphobia looks like. I don't believe what I believe flippantly, and I'm not benefiting financially from this position. It's not as though like there are millions of me, like who's gonna donate to me? Gray Zone viewers? These people despise me. If anything, I risk like a larger departure from people who have been more pro-electoral. I'm just letting you guys know what I believe and why. Why are we even having this discussion? Vance doesn't stand a chance anyway. Because it's a broader like thought experiment about the responsibility of the Democratic Party to provide a good candidate. Because we're not just fighting over who's better. We're fighting over hope for the future, the belief that it's possible to fix these deep-seated issues in the country. Newsom couldn't do it. I guarantee you that I'll lay everything down on. Newsom could not do it. At most, he would be a holding pattern, reminding people how feckless, weak, useless, and inauthentic the Democrats are. As the Democratic establishment rushes to defend every stupid decision that he makes, every ridiculous concession, you know, the party continues to be divided. Popularity for all the positions that they support will go down, just like they did towards the end of Biden. If we want, like, the next Democratic candidate has to be a knockout, you know? That's what I want. I want the next Democratic candidate to be a knockout. Will they be a communist? No. Will they be a socialist? No. Will I like them as much as I like Mamdani? No. I just want them to be better than that. I need them to be good enough that they can begin to address these issues. That's what I want. I want a lion. And if they provide one, I'll advocate for them. This is how democracy works. You have to pick a good candidate. If you keep picking losers. You can't be mad at everyone else when you lose. I don't know, like, I mean, I understand there's a lot of misinformation out there. It's not like you don't contribute to that environment. I'm just saying, like, I don't understand why we're all being so preemptively concessionary to the Democratic Party's potential worst choice. It's like how loyalty to Kobe set the Lakers back a decade. I don't know what that means, but I believe you. So a lot of people engage with this in a very chauvinistic way, which is unfortunate because it's very, very, very important. A four-year holding pattern would be better than Vance, but after the holding pattern, you might get a worse Vance. That's what happened with Trump. Again, the holding pattern pauses the country, but it then allows the united forces of capital behind the Republican Party to grow stronger, to dominate culture more, and then they come back worse. That's what just happened. That's what we're living in right now. What do you want voters to believe, that all the Democrats can ever offer is a holding pattern? Do you really want that? Don't you hold any standards to them? They're very powerful and wealthy people. Do you have nothing for them? Do you have no anger? Don't you think you're entitled to better candidates? Doesn't it disgust you that time and time and time again, they consistently underperform? They misrepresent their electorate? They do badly? It's their job to do well. Don't you want them to do well? I want them to do well. It's ridiculous. It's just like there's like nothing they can do. Many people don't have the privilege of virtue signal their way through another 4 years of fascist admin. I think that's a disconnect. Virtue signal? Okay, thank you for confirming my prior. You actually don't understand what's being said here. Word slop. Yeah, word slop. That buzzword had nothing to do with what we're talking about. There's genuinely no connect. You pulled it up because you wanted some kind of invective to throw in there. You wanted like a negative term. You actually don't understand the point being made. It's crazy. Virtue signal? What virtue? It's the literacy thing. You really think J.D. Vance cares about popularity? He wants to end democracy completely. He'll do it all by executive order? I don't think you really understand how politics works. Do you really think a J.D. Vance presidency would make people more hopeful than Newsom? Yes. In the same way that right now, there is vastly more hope for a future good Democratic turnaround than there was at the end of 2024. Yeah, easily. Yeah. Just think about it. Think for like 2 seconds with your head. Remember the end of 2024, right before the election? Remember the gloom? Remember watching all polling data trend more and more towards Trump? Opinion polling shifted more to the right. Every week, every month, every new story, it felt like the cultural momentum was building in favor of the right. And then what happened? Trump won. Right now, things are going in the opposite direction. The increasing unpopularity of the Trump administration means that some of the special election results we're seeing, 30, 40, 50 point swings to the left, right now there's hope, there's momentum. You would give all of that momentum up by giving the Democrats permission to give you the worst candidate possible to vote for. I dare to believe in more. I dare to challenge the Democrats to actually represent their people and this country, not to flub all the momentum their constituents have worked for. That's because I believe in democracy and you don't. You believe in capitulation and internet arguments. Disgusting. It's just crazy that we've lived through so much in the past decade that all the arguments you're making can be disproven just by observing stuff that's happened within your lifetime. You don't even have to make historical arguments. Do you really think that it's worse to have 4 years of a holding pattern and then the fascist comes back? Yes, that's what we're dealing with right now. Yes. You really think people are more hopeful under an unpopular fascist presidency than they are under a waning holding pattern Democratic presidency? Yes, look at right now compared to 2 years ago. Just like very simple. Just pay attention, man. You just want to have arguments. I'm ascending to the enlightenment plane and you're down here in the shit. There's nothing I can do about it. Yeah, Masaigu, but the issue isn't just whether or not they'd vote for him in the primary. It's whether or not they think it's an insult from the Democratic Party to put him in the primary to begin with. In a fair system, with a Democratic Party that actually cares about its constituency, they wouldn't even let Newsom in the primary. They would bury that motherfucker in attack ads the nanosecond he started talking about it. Wouldn't that be nice to live in a good country, or a better one at least? God, yeah, even like Buttigieg is leagues better than what, and Buttigieg, I hate Buttigieg, but he's still leagues better. I would rather an Obama clone than somebody to the right of him on every issue. I guess I trust Obama's political instincts a lot more than I do Gavin Newsom. Machiavellian, princeling little... Yeah, Buttigieg does at least believe in liberalism. That's true. Amid popular shifts, some Democrats are urging a more moderate approach to success in midterms. Oh, the new Democrat coalition? Aren't these literally all, like, paid millionaire, deep state-affiliated consultants? Sharing this info with CNBC, the business network? Come on. These people, again, like these people, the only thing that you should get from this, the only lesson you should learn from this is that capital wants moderate candidates. And we hate capital. okay? However moderate you may think I've been on Democrats in the past, don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted, okay? The complete abolition of these people from public and professional life is a necessary step towards our saving our democracy. That's not a socialist position. It's a liberal one. If you want to defend democracy, liberal democracy, this shit has to go. We cannot have these millionaire-backed consultancy groups dictating policy to our detriment anymore. Well, caucus, not consultancy group, but you understand. Well, you're one of the good ones, Ben. Joe Manchin or Gavin Newsom? Joe Manchin. There's if there has been a real shift in my politics over the past 5 years, it's been that I value authenticity a lot more than I used to. I think that Joe Manchin is a lot more honest than Gavin Newsom. I would rather like somebody to the right, even just on the merits of their own presidency, I would rather have somebody to the right of Gavin Newsom if I thought like they actually believe those things, as opposed to somebody who would like spinelessly adjust to appeal to any group possible. Also, I really don't think Joe Manchin would have a podcast where he sits down with an Epstein-affiliated fascist propagandist and agree with him on everything. Maybe he would. What about Massey? Massey has done more to advance the interests and politics of liberals than anyone in the Democratic Party. Right now, except Ro Khanna. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're in this together on that, yeah.
There's a tug of war going on in the Democratic Party over who is going to be the future. You have groups like progressives, like Senator Elizabeth Warren, Senator Bernie Sanders, who have made headlines with big, splashy populist proposals that would really lower costs for a lot of Americans.
These movers and shakers want the Democratic Party to respond to the 2024 losses by watering down our economic agenda and sucking up to the rich and powerful, claiming that a less progressive Democratic Party will win more elections. They are wrong.
The New Democrat Coalition is a group of House Democrats, about 115 strong, that push for more moderate proposals than their populist counterparts. The goal of the coalition is to build a plan that sets itself apart from the progressive left, but also sets itself apart from the Republicans and Donald Trump, that would lower costs for everyday Americans.
Polls show that's the number...
I'm catching up, and you said you're voting based on harm reduction. So far, all your choices have been for maximum harm later down the line, just saying. I can't assume that you're speaking in good faith if you understand things. Past a point, your illiteracy is a kind of bad faith in itself. If you cared about fair discussion, you would learn to understand what others are saying.
One cost concern for the American people is lowering healthcare costs. But what about costs of everyday goods, including going to the grocery store? People see how much the prices have increased. These tariffs have got to go, and we are fighting to get rid of it. And what about energy prices? That's another area that people need to be thinking more about. We want to lower energy prices by making sure that large users of the grid pay their fair share and that we have true accessibility to solar and wind, alternative energy sources. That lowers energy prices.
You won't find these big splashy proposals that are being
proposed. It's really, really grim that they're being given the opportunity to pitch their agenda or like what distinguishes them. And their answer is like, yeah, we want free market trade. And also we want, that was all free market trade. Proportional electrical grid use pricing, green energy construction, and no tariffs. Literally everything they said was like, well, I think that we should be more capitalist, which in those respects, yeah, I guess that's probably better than having tight state regulations that are designed to make things worse. But that's it.
Proposed by senators like Senator Elizabeth Warren or Senator Bernie Sanders in this proposal. Things like capping credit card interest at 10%. Or taxing the rich at a much higher rate than everyday Americans. What you will find, though, are...
I love that phrasing, much higher rate, parentheses, like not even close to what the wealthy tax rates were back in the 50s or 60s. You know, much higher rate. The audacious belief that very, very wealthy people should pay much more in taxes than like normal people, you know, in an era of unprecedented wealth inequality.
Proposals that the New Democrats say they can actually find common ground on and pass to lower prices for Americans. The New Democrat Coalition is targeting five areas to lower prices. Things like groceries, things like healthcare, housing, energy, and...
Look, I love their proposal for decreasing healthcare costs. Making healthcare more affordable and accessible by creating more competition, transparency, and accountability across sectors. Yeah, man, that'll do it. That'll do it.
Families, things like child care and elder care. They're talking about cutting red tape for building housing.
Oh, I bet they'll be good for elder care. That's the only thing that every Western government can agree on. You guys see this? I've been looking for an excuse to pitch this in here. French pensioners now have higher incomes than working age adults. Look at this. In France, Incredible. In Italy, they're almost there. Leeches. And over here, the Treasury Department recently bragged about the working families' tax cuts, a $6,000 deduction for seniors. Is the working man in the room with us right now? I think literally just today, Nancy Mace posted that she is pushing for a tax deduction on interest payments for boat purchases. I think that was just today I saw that, just today.
On energy, they're talking about permitting reform that might lower costs on utility bills, increasing biofuels, which could lower cost at the pump. And to do that, they're talking about rolling back the tariffs that President Trump has put into place, along with other things like supporting small grocers and supporting small farmers.
New Democrats.
Yeah, that's what we need, more farmer support.
Are gonna focus in on good public policy. Good public policy is good for the American people and good for business. Lowering the healthcare costs for the American people is ultimately good for the economy. It puts more spending power into the economy.
We've seen the New Democrat coalition strategy work well in recent elections for governor. Two Democrats, Abigail Spanberger and Mikey Sherrill, both won governor's races in their states on moderate platforms that are more in line with what the New Democrat coalition is proposing.
Biofuels is a corn subsidy dog whistle? Yes, it is. We shouldn't have biofuels.
Than the progressive side of the Democratic Party. There's a lot at stake for the Democratic Party in the upcoming 2026 midterm elections, including whether they're going to take back power in Washington.
We can only win this election if independents and moderate Republicans want change. They want to see elected officials who will really fight to lower costs. And that's where the New Dems come in. We can best appeal to independents and moderate Republicans so that we can deliver the majority to Congress for the.
Yeah, you've been doing. Imagine pitching this like, oh, yeah, we'll be able to work with Republicans in the year of our Lord 2026. Like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, all those independent politicians and all those moderate Republican politicians. Is this a GOP op to split the Dem vote? No, this is like half of House Dems, and this is where the money goes.
American people.
This affordability idea has become a big liability for the incumbent.
This is the one and only argument they've had for the last 30 years. Yeah, you can, if you could create like such a good super cut off of this, where like as the country grows darker and darker, every year the same people are saying the same things. We're working with independents and moderate Republicans to deliver affordability to Americans as like Bush, 9/11, the Patriot Act, the Obama years, Trump 1, COVID, Trump 2, like everything that are getting bled out. Income inequality is skyrocketing, like income inequality between now and the 1990s, like order of magnitude greater now. Everything is getting worse. Debt skyrocketing, interest payments on the debt, like 10 times what it was 30 years ago. But like the same people saying the same things. It's really working, you know? All those moderate reforms are really doing a lot to fix the problems with this country. I thought they learned from the Obama years. Well, it's not a matter of them learning. They're like paid to be like this. They have close ties to lobbyist groups that want them to stay this way. And if they ever stop being a politician because they get elected out, they get a $500,000 a year consultant position on the board of one of the companies they worked for while they were in office. Like, it's not about them learning. They're doing their job.
Republican Party. Public polling has also indicated that President Donald Trump's approval rating on the economy, once a very strong issue for him, has rapidly deteriorated. The president finds himself in the 30s on the economy, basically underwater. There is a percentage of the population that supports a lot of these more.
Why can't we do biofuels? Watch the recent Technology Connections video. He does a better job explaining it than I ever could.
Progressive policies, especially in urban centers and northeast states. But we've never really seen them catch on among the median voter, the bulk of voters that Democrats need to make a majority in Washington.
Neat. UK segment? No.